In this episode of the Cliff Ravenscraft Show, I'm going to talk about creating your ideal work week, recognizing patterns, and the value of journaling for finding out where you go off track.
Are you ready to take your message, your business, and your life to the next level?
Want to learn from someone with more than a decade of experience, training tens of thousands of people from all around the world?
Hi, Cliff. This is Pauline from Auckland, New Zealand.
John from Calgary, Alberta.
Amy Porterfield.
Michael Hyatt.
Dan here from Dunedin, New Zealand.
Ray Edwards.
Mark Mason.
Mike Stelzner.
Pat from Smart Passive Income.
It's Darren from Melbourne, Australia.
Now is the time to live the life of your dreams and do the work you feel most called to do in the world.
Welcome to the Cliff Ravenscraft Show.
Here's your host, Cliff Ravenscraft.
Welcome back, my friend. I wasn't going to tell you this, but I'm actually sitting in the front seat of my car once again for this episode. And the reason why I wasn't going to tell you that is because if you were to listen to this episode, which I believe is episode 725 of the Cliff Ravenscraft Show, and go back and listen to the episode before this one, episode 724, you should be able to tell a very noticeable difference in the audio quality. Now, I played my wife, Stephanie, a little bit of a clip from episode 724, and then I played her a little bit of an audio clip from a recording I did using this setup, which is much different than the setup that I used for episode 724. And she says, Cliff, I'm sorry, I can't tell the difference. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I can totally tell the difference. Anyway, I am recording this particular podcast episode on Friday, April 26th, 2024. And it is currently 8:33 in the morning. I arrived here at the gym this morning. I'm looking in my journal, see if I can find out what time I got here. I'm sitting here in the gym parking lot starting this journal entry at 4:48 a.m. That's right. I started a journal entry approximately 4 hours ago. And I just finished that journal entry. Now, there's been some things that I've done in between, kind of just thinking through some stuff, meditating, took a little break to go to the bathroom and went and grabbed myself some breakfast. But then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to finish this journal entry and I'm going to record an episode of the Cliff Ravenscraft Show where I'm going to talk about this concept of creating an ideal work week, designing your life in advance, creating your schedule the way that you desire it. Now, I recognize that some people may not have the privilege of creating their own work schedule. And I get that, and I can't speak to that nature. It has been more than 15 years now since I've been full-time self-employed, and I can tell you it's one of the greatest benefits among the greatest benefits that I have of being full-time self-employed is that I do get to create my own schedule. Now, don't just think that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Let me tell you, there's some benefits to not being full-time self-employed. And there are many people out there who have a hard time making that adjustment, saying, man, I really wish I had all of that freedom. And sometimes not knowing what the costs are to have such freedom. And there are costs, there are risks when it comes to full-time self-employment, but they're totally worth it from my experience. And so because of that, I do have a lot of freedom in deciding who do I choose to work with? And not only that, how I choose to work with them. And not only that, but when I choose to work with them. And because of that, I have come to this place over the years where I've decided, you know what? I want to decide what I want my scheduled commitments on my calendar to look like. Over the years, I have decided I understand the importance of self-care and routines. And when I get into a good, decent self-care routine, I find my life flows incredibly well. When those routines get disrupted or there's an interruption to my patterns, I have recognized that things slowly fade away from flowing to feeling overwhelmed. And it seems like there's just never enough time in the day. And it seems like my energy is draining, and it somehow life begins to happen to me instead of me experiencing life as a gift. So I came up with this idea a couple of years ago. The very first time I created an ideal work week was, gosh, I wonder what life would be like if I only worked Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and I had every Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday off. And I developed that schedule back in 2019. Now, this was pre-pandemic, and one of the things that I wanted to do is I wanted to get to that place where my wife and I could start going traveling to all different places throughout the United States and or maybe even potentially around the world, but taking a lot of four-day weekends. Like, in fact, we were committed at the time, we were going to do 1 4-day weekend at least once a quarter, at least once every 3 months we would go out of town. And we did such a experience back in Colorado right before the pandemic. I think it was like October 2019. And then, of course, when it would have come time for our next one, that's when things started to get a little bit crazy around the globe. And as a result of that, that pattern kind of got interrupted. But going into that, I did actually schedule my calendar out such that, okay, I'm going to definitely do plenty of coaching calls on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I'll do 3 each day. And then I'll do my Wednesday mastermind calls and content creation and stuff like that. And then my Thursday evening mastermind group. But wow, every Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday are schedule free or commitment free, meaning nobody gets a scheduled call on my calendar, with very rare exceptions. And I operated under that ideal work week for quite some time, for several months, and it was so enjoyable. Now, eventually, I adopted a little bit of a different routine. And this was, again, well before the pandemic ever hit. It was something that I started toying with as I was preparing for Free the Dream all the way back to the summer of 2018. That was when I began to discover this incredibly powerful environment that I'm sitting at right now. And I talked about this in the previous episode, 724, where I talk about the fact that I get up in the morning and I come to the gym here in Fort Wright, Kentucky. I'm in the back parking lot of Planet Fitness, and I sit here for hours reading, studying, journaling, meditating, eventually going in for my workout, and then heading home to do the rest of my day. And quite frankly, there was a very long season of time when I was doing that routine fairly consistently. However, what I wasn't aware of as that was happening is that it wasn't as routine as I thought that routine was. So that is the first part of what I wanted to talk about, the concept of having an ideal work week. Have you ever sat down and said, listen, if I had no scheduled commitments, if I had no obligations, if I were to completely reinvent my life from scratch, I did not have any projects, I did not have any clients, I did not have any programs, I did not have any group meetings, I did not have anything on my calendar. If I had a completely blank slate on my calendar, what would I desire my weekly schedule to look like? And then sit down and start playing with the blocks of time in your calendar and design it the way that you would make it given what your priorities and your values are today. Now, that whatever you do, ignore your calendar as it is today. Ignore all of your commitments as it is today. Ignore all of your obligations as they are today. Start with a clean calendar. For me, what I would do is I would go into my Google Calendar and I would create a brand new Google Calendar, and I would, on the left-hand side, unselect my main calendar, and now I have a blank calendar. And so what I would do is I would go in and I would time block out what I would want my life to look like personally and professionally on this ideal blank slate and create that. Then you go in and you turn your main calendar on and see the overlay, and you just, all of a sudden, for me, I'm like, oh my gosh, there's a lot of misalignment in these two calendars. There's a lot of misalignment. And so I began to ask myself, how can I adjust my commitments in such a way that will fit this? Back in those days, I had some clients that I was meeting on Tuesday mornings at 10 a.m. and I had Thursdays at 10 a.m. and I wanted to get to the place where now I'm only working in the afternoon, for example. And so I began to see if I could get those folks that I was used to meeting at 10 a.m. in my one-on-one sessions to see if I can't meet them at 1 o'clock in the afternoon instead. And to my surprise, everyone agreed. I'm like, wow, that was easy. And then I began to modify some other things. And then I decided, okay, well, there's just this one long-standing commitment. I created this thing a long time ago. There's way too much momentum for this. I think I will just let this be the exception to the rule. But otherwise, this is my ideal work week, and I've modified my ideal to include and grandfather in this one commitment on Wednesday. So that's the whole idea. That's the concept. That's how I went about creating what I call my ideal calendar, my ideal work week. That's the first thing that I wanted to share in this episode. Now, the second thing that I wanted to share in this episode is the concept of my ideal routine self-care practice. And it's a part of my ideal work week and or my ideal calendar. I want to include time for me. Life is not just work. Life is not just meetings. Life is not just all of this other stuff that we quote-unquote think we have to do. But there are very real, valuable things that we can do in our life that make a big difference. And for me, that is getting up early in the morning. I have discovered that I have the greatest experience of life when I get up early in the morning. And for me, I have discovered the earlier, the better the experience of life. Now, granted, I do have a wife and I have children. Of course, my kids are all out of the house now. We have become empty nesters, except for our youngest daughter is going to move back home for the summer. She's at college, and this will probably be maybe the last time she comes home for the summer. We'll see. But anyway, with that being said, I still have a wife that would like me to not go to bed at 5 p.m. So to kind of make things work out, I try to make sure that if I'm going to live up to my perfect ideal of what I would want my early morning routine to be, I try to make it to where going to bed at 8 a.m. or 8 p.m. is about the earliest. And if I go much earlier than that, I start to get a little flack from Stephanie. And it's like, yeah, that's like, yeah, we'll just put it that way. Not in a bad way. This is disrupting our evenings. This is disrupting our relational time. This is the time when we sit down and kind of just chill and spend time together, whatever we're doing. So with that, my ideal is to go to bed at 8 p.m. and hopefully to be asleep by 9 p.m. Is that right? Did I write that down? Let me go over here and look at this. Because I have a new routine. Actually, 9 p.m. Go to bed by 9 p.m. is what I'm actually going for, not 8 p.m. 8 p.m. is a desire. 9 p.m. is my boundary. That's kind of where it's like, if last night we were watching episode 4 of Shogun on Hulu, and we're really enjoying that show. And then I took the dog out, and everything's going great. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, hey, I think it's time to go to bed. Let's head on up. And we did, and I think it was 8:37 p.m. that we went to bed. And I'm like, oh, this is great. So I was in bed by 9. Anyway, I share all of that to say this. For me, I've discovered my early morning routine, the best I've ever experienced life, getting up at 4 a.m. and then coming to the gym. So get up at 4 a.m., leave the house, come to the gym. I'm here by 4:30 in the morning. Or no, I leave the house by 4:30 in the morning. I'm here at the gym by 5 a.m., and then I spend the first few hours of the day sitting here reading, studying, journaling, meditating. And then I go in for my workout, and then I head home. Now, up till this point, it's been I need to head home before my first scheduled call of the day. Now, every Wednesday, that first scheduled call is going to be my Next Level Mastermind at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time. However, other days of the week, it depends on whether or not I have a 10 a.m. call or some other random morning scheduled call or commitment. And in the past, when I've had my morning routine, there are mornings when I have these scheduled calls and there are mornings that I don't. Sometimes when I don't have a morning call scheduled, I might wake up later, start the gym early morning routine a little later and all this other stuff. But I wasn't even aware of that until I sat down here this morning and went back and reviewed my journals because I need to look at the patterns. The whole second part of this episode is about evaluating patterns. Where do I get disrupted? Where is it that I get off track and then it takes me months before I get back on track again? This is something that it would be worth me investing, let's just say 4 hours this morning, to evaluate where do I seem to get off track. And so this morning I sat here and I'm like, you know what? I am going to evaluate the patterns over the last several years. I'm an avid journaler, and that is another thing that I want to share with you. It is the third topic, but I'm going to share it together here with the second one. The value of journaling on an ongoing, consistent basis, daily if you can pull it off, is incredibly powerful. So I would love to encourage you, if you're not an avid journaler now, to consider it. That's it. Just consider giving it a shot. And if you struggle with that and you want to talk to me about how I overcame all of my limiting beliefs and thoughts about journaling and the perfection of it and where do I put this and that and how do I keep it all on track and all these other things that could stand and get you barriers in your way and all these other things, making everything pretty and perfect, I can tell you right now, just journal. And there are so many benefits of it that if you experience the benefits just for a couple of times, you would get over all of the imperfections in the ways and the different platforms and trying to get it all in one location and all of those things. Just the fact that you're journaling alone will make a difference in so many powerful ways. Now, what I want to share with you is what I learned and discovered this morning as a result of my daily journaling over the last several years of my life. I came here, so I told you in episode 724, it was about 2.5 weeks ago, I started getting up at 4 a.m. every single morning without fail, and I have been loving it. But I was talking with Stephanie, and she reminded me, it's like, hey, if you really want to get back into things, you told me so many times it's that spot in the back of the gym over in Fort Wright, that that's your thing. And why don't you start that again? And I'm like, you're right, I will. And so I started back this Monday, and now it is here this Friday. And I have been back here every single morning, getting here at least by 5 a.m. And this morning I got here, as I said, earlier than that. And crazy thing is now that I'm sitting here in the back parking lot of the gym, thinking it's like, oh, okay, I've got my Heil PR40. I've got my Rodecaster Pro with the battery powered operation happening. This is going to be great. And there is a landscaping crew who are getting out their power mowers and are outside. I don't know if you'll be able to hear them throughout this, but it is what it is. So here I am sitting in my gym, and a couple of things that occurred to me as I began to journal this morning. And I started thinking, I'm confused. Something doesn't seem right to me. In episode 724, I seem to be talking about the fact that before the pandemic closed the gym, I remember coming here and having this early morning routine. And then I was thinking, well, what car was I driving? Because right now I'm driving a 2021 Honda Accord Sport SE. And I got this car at the end of 2020. So, matter of fact, it was right in the midst of the pandemic that I actually purchased this vehicle. This was the first 2021 Honda off the lot, and I purchased it during that time frame. And so I distinctly remember being in this car doing my early morning routine here at this gym. And that would have been after the pandemic. And the reality is that it was. I was coming here after the gym had reopened. They had mask mandates and all sorts of other things going on, but I was here. And so I'm like, I wonder, but I also remember doing this prior to the gym. I was starting to confuse it with the idea of doing the, you know, prior to Free the Dream 2018, 2019, I was doing the reflections from the front seat. But that was actually in my Volkswagen Bug. And I'm like, well, did I always do this morning routine from the Bug? Because I can't remember, I can't imagine that actually having the same feel as this. Because number one, no heat in the car, no air conditioning in the car. No, I mean, it just would have been very unpleasant to do my morning routine the way that I do it here in this car. So I'm like, I'm literally confusing a lot of things here. It my recollection of the past seems to be fuzzy. So then I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go back in my journal and see if I can't figure out when and where I and in what seasons and for what lengths of time was I successfully here doing this early morning routine. And oh my gosh, I was using Day One Journal at the time. And as a result of going through that app, I was able to see all sorts of patterns. And I saw there were 3 to 6 week period of times when I was here doing this every single morning. And then I would have a couple weeks where I was out. And then I would be back at it for a couple of days, up to a week or two, and then I was out of it again. And it was just on again, off again. And so to see the patterns has been incredibly powerful. And to evaluate what is it that is the catalyst for me to kind of make a little bit of disruption into the pattern or the routine of something that is so valuable to me. And here are the insights. I'm not going to bore you by going through and reading all of the different seasons in and out of my early morning routine. But after 4 hours, actually, technically about 2.5 hours, was doing the evaluation, and the rest was other journaling and things that I've done this morning. But still, after about 2.5 hours of going through and looking at all these different journals, here are the insights that I have discovered. First and foremost, sleep quality and timing. On days that I went to bed early and slept well, I managed to wake and arrive at the gym early. Staying up late or waking up late were obvious disruptions in my pattern. So I could easily see in my journal, hey, last night I, you know, was up late because of this, this, this. As a result of that, I decided to sleep in early. Now, I didn't consciously make a decision to disrupt my morning routine and get out of the habit, but I just noticed that that seemed to kick off a couple of days, and sometimes it turned into weeks without actually coming to the gym. Instead, I would be working out at home and squeezing that in and all this other stuff. And by the way, I've discovered one thing. There was so many different seasons of my life where I'm like, man, this is starting to impact my workout. I need to start working out. I need to start working out. And because I was waking up later, I'm like, well, it'd be just faster. It'd be more efficient if I just work out at home. And we do have a gym in our home with very expensive equipment. But I will tell you, that comes at a cost. What is the cost? The cost of this environment. The cost of this dedicated space, the cost of these dedicated hours, the cost of the commute time here and the commute time home, the cost of this early morning routine is the cost of me working out home just for the efficiency and just like, oh, it'd be much quicker if I just went downstairs, worked out, came upstairs, got a shower, and then had my call. And that was what was required if I'm going to sleep in, and that's what's required if I'm going to stay up late and if I'm still prioritizing my sleep. So that was one, it's like the number of times my routine was interrupted and I defaulted back to working out at home instead of coming to the gym, or the number of times where I'm like, okay, well, I still have enough time to go to the gym and get that in, but still, I'm definitely not going to have time to read and journal and study before. I need to go into the gym, work out, and come back. And then it's like, well, why don't I just do that here? I'd save gas if I just did it here. So, yeah, that was a big insight. And the number of times that it happened, it became clearly obvious. Yep, that's something to be on the lookout for. Now, the next insight that came to me was lack of scheduled commitments. Days without scheduled commitments in the morning allowed me to extend my time at the gym, enhancing my satisfaction and commitment to this routine. So that is something that I absolutely knew, is that I loved it when I didn't have a 10 o'clock call. I loved it when I could come here, and if I got here at 4:30 in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, 5:30 in the morning, and I didn't have to rush into the gym at 7, or if I didn't have to rush into the gym at 8 o'clock, then I could easily just sit here and continue to do whatever I'm doing. I could even record a podcast episode like this at, it's currently 8:59 in the morning, and I have not yet gone into the gym. And because I don't have any scheduled calls, I'm able to continue to record this episode. More than likely, I will do the post-production and publish this episode on my laptop and then pack everything up, put it in my trunk, and go into the gym and do my workout. And I'll probably get home around 11:30, maybe 12 o'clock. I'll take a shower, and my first scheduled call of the day today is at 1 p.m. That is awesome. So that was another insight, is that early morning scheduled calls definitely impact the pattern of my routine. All right, the next one is going to the gym with others was a major insight. Now, this one is difficult for me to kind of think about how I want to protect a boundary, because there were certain seasons of life where my wife decided, I think I'm really inspired by how committed you are and the kind of results that you're getting as a result of your daily workouts. I think I'd like to start going to the gym too. What do you think about us working out together? And every single time that's come up in the past, the answer for me was always yes. And by the way, I want you to understand, I am not passing any blame. I'm not shifting anything. But what I will say is that all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, my wife doesn't like to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'll just say that. And as a result of that, it's like, okay, well, I guess what I will do is I will still wake up early. I'll do my early morning routine stuff at home. I'll wait till you get up, and then we'll go to the gym together right around 8 o'clock in the morning. And then we'll, you know, we're here at 8:30. We work out for 45 minutes and I'll get home and hopefully time for my first call of the day if I have a scheduled call. And so, and there's no rush if we don't. So that's kind of how things went. And there's a couple of things that I recognize from that. Number one, the early morning routine from home is not the same as early routine from this environment. Talked a little bit about that in episode 724. It was better when I had that creative desk space, but still the creative desk space did not give me the same benefit of immediately going into the gym afterwards. So there was that. Not only that, but there is a part of this routine. There's a recipe that I have here. And the recipe is actually listening to personal and professional development on the drive to the gym. It's a 20 to 25 minute commute most days. Sometimes there's traffic. There's always seems to be some construction that happens in seasons. And so sometimes maybe it could be longer, but at least approximately 25 minute. There's a 25 minute commute to the gym and a 25 minute commute home. Now, Stephanie knew that this was a part of my routine. And she says, if you want to listen to your Tony Robbins or whatever with your earbuds in. And I did that sometimes. And at other times, I'm like, you know, what am I doing? I'm sitting here with my wife. Let's just chat. Let's talk. And so I would opt for that most of the time. And as a result, I'm not getting some of those things that were such a part of my self-care routine. And so then there were seasons when her schedule was conflicting with my schedule, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to the gym by myself anyway. And but by this time, I'm now out of the pattern. And then, you know, she would go in seasons where she's like, you know, it's going to be easier for me for the time being to work out in the afternoon. Do you want to work out in the afternoon? And it's like, and again, none of this is there is no blame here. But it's just a recognizing this. These are things that I hadn't considered until going back. You know, hindsight and is 2020. Connecting the dots is something is easy to do when I look backwards. But it wasn't easy for me to forecast how all of these things are going to happen. But that's the importance of recognizing patterns. So as I recognize these patterns, I'm able to see, it's like, wait a second, every time I do this, then this occurs. And it becomes something that can be a little bit more of a predicting factor for me. So that was one thing, going to the gym with Stephanie in her seasons when she wanted to work out together. Now, these days, I will say she's actually working out several days a week, each week with her friend Sarah, which is kind of awesome and everything like that. And, you know, so I think Stephanie's in a good place on her workouts. And I don't know what I would do moving forward if she was to come to me and say, hey, what do you think about working out again together? So that's something that I'll need to be considering in the future, but we'll cross that bridge when I come to it. And I also have some thoughts. I'm going to share with you some of my tips for moving forward. And these tips are for myself based upon what I learned from evaluating these patterns because I benefit from the daily journaling that I've done over the years. By the way, there was one particular season where it was there was this 2 week period of time, or was it a week period of time, where we had a guest in our home. It was a friend of the family, and this person invited themselves to the gym with me, said, hey, why don't I go to the gym with you? And I'm like, sure. And of course, it was a very similar thing. And it's like, and I know, and it was very clear that disrupted my pattern. And when that person left town, the pattern was disrupted, the routine was broken, and there was a season where I was out of it, out of the early morning routine. Then I didn't even think about this, but we have a dog. We didn't always have a dog. And so I'm going back and I'm looking at the times here. It's like, oh, wow. So I've got all of these things. And then all of a sudden it's like there's a complete break in my early morning journaling. And then all of a sudden it's later in the morning journaling. It's like 9:30 in the morning and I'm journaling. I'm like, why am I journaling? And then I look at it. Oh, last night Leo woke me up at 1:30 in the morning and I took him out to go to the potty. and then it's like, and he woke me up again this morning at 4:30, you know, or whatever. And it's just these different things. And it's like, wow, I forgot that potty training a new dog and getting up multiple times through the night. That first month or so that Leo joined our family was an obvious disruption to the pattern. Okay, so tip, don't get more new dogs that you have to potty train. I don't know. We'll see. Oh, goodness. All right. And then the next one that I discovered, an obvious disruptor of my pattern is travel. Travel for vacations, conferences, anything you name it. These always came with a disruption to the early morning routine. And it became very obvious to me when I started looking at each of the conferences I went to when I got back, and I'm talking about the fact that I'm sleeping in due to jet lag and adjusting back to my own time zone and all this other stuff. So that now what I've done is I evaluated my patterns. And as a result of knowing what the pattern interruptions are, I can now set intention to be on the lookout for these things, to set commitments and boundaries that might help me to have less disruptions, to go less periods of times where I don't have the benefit of this incredibly life-giving early morning routine that every time I'm in, I have a greater satisfaction of life. And by the way, I also recognized that while I have had glimpses into my early morning routine, I had never made an absolute commitment of exactly what hours early morning actually means. That is another pattern that I saw throughout my journaling. Woke up at 4:30 this morning, headed to the gym. Woke up at 3:45 this morning, headed to the gym. Woke up at 6:15, headed to the gym. It was all over the place. But in my mind, prior to looking at these journals, it was always I was here at 5 o'clock in the morning. Don't get me wrong. There was a lot of times that I was here at 5 o'clock in the morning. But it wasn't consistent all of the time. Sometimes I was here at 5. Sometimes I was here at 5:35. Sometimes I was here at 6:15. While I may have had a lot of times where I was here by 5 a.m., it was not an ongoing, consistent behavioral routine. And here in my mind, I thought it was until I looked back at the journals. Ah, I love it. All right. So what have I learned as a result of this? Well, first and foremost, here are my tips for moving forward. I need to prioritize my sleep schedule. A consistent wake-up time. Even on days when I don't go to the gym, I will wake up at the same time. This will help me to stabilize my body's internal clock, making early mornings easier. So for the last 2.5 weeks, I have woke up at 4 a.m. every single day. Now, on Saturdays and Sundays, I don't know if I'm going to come here and sit in this parking lot. Haven't made that decision yet. Coming back to the gym, just started back on Monday. So tomorrow is Saturday. I have not yet decided whether or not I will be here. I will tell you this, though. I will wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning tomorrow. And it makes sense for me to come to the gym. So we'll see. Sunday, maybe, maybe not. Still not sure. But there's a part of me thinks that maybe I will. I don't know. But I certainly know Monday through Friday, I already know I'm committed to being here and starting my work week days like this. I'll be able to tell you in future episodes of the Train with Cliff audio journal over at trainwithcliff.com, by the way, whether or not I continue to do this on the weekends as well. But the whole idea for this episode of the Cliff Ravenscraft Show is to understand that it's like, listen, one of the things that I learned is that even if I am not going to come to the gym and do this routine, I still want to wake up at 4 a.m. Even if I get up at 4 a.m., do some meditation, do some reading, do some journaling at home, and then go and lay down for another 2 hours at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning, that's perfectly fine. Or take a nap in the rest of the day. Matter of fact, I'm always taking a nap every day anyway, almost every day. It's been a part of my personal care routine for years now. So here's what I'm committed to. So I'm going to go to bed by 9 p.m. and I'm going to get up at 4 a.m. every morning. That's going to be my commitment to myself. And I will do that. And that's what I'm shooting for. I will look out and be on the guard for what disruptions or patterns may come my way, and I will negotiate that or I will deal with whatever comes up in the past that might interrupt this particular pattern. But and I've got some ideas of how to manage some of the disruptions like travel and things like that. So, but anyway, my goal on average is to go to bed by 9 p.m., get up at 4 a.m. And even if I don't even fall asleep until 10 p.m., that's still 6 hours of sleep. And again, I take a nap every day. So that's great. The next one is get back to my ideal schedule concept again. My ideal schedule, I've consistently been maintaining an ideal schedule, but it's only now that I recognize that I've allowed a lot of other 10 a.m. calls to get scheduled. I've been doing some podcast interviews at 10 a.m. I've been doing a podcast production with my friend Daphne Scott every week at 10 a.m. And I'm like, that's got to change. So I rearranged my ideal schedule, and as far as I'm concerned, at this point forward, I'm going to keep my meetings free from any scheduled commitments, with the exception of Wednesday mornings. That's the Next Level Mastermind that's been going since 9:30 a.m. every Wednesday morning since November 2017, and that there's so much momentum behind that. I don't want to negotiate the change of that time for anyone. It works for everyone who's currently in the group, and so we're going to keep it there. Anyway, this right here reduces my need to ever rush home, to rush this routine. It doesn't matter if I don't get home until 12 in the afternoon. It's perfectly fine. All right, so that is one of the things that I did. And so as soon as I found this, I immediately looked at my calendar, and I'm like, okay, I'm changing my ideal work week. Okay, I reached out to Daphne and texted her yesterday. Daphne, do you mind if we start recording our podcasts on Thursdays instead of Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern time instead of 10 a.m. Eastern time? She goes, yeah, sure, no problem. And I'm like, oh, thank you. Boom, done. And then the only other calls that I had scheduled at 10 or in the morning was this coming Friday. I have a 10 a.m. podcast interview with my friend Freya. And I'm not going to ask her to change it because she lives in Germany. She's 6 hours ahead. And like, okay, this is one of those rare exceptions that I would make anyway. So will I need to actually make sure that I'm home by 9:30 that morning? Yes. That's this coming Friday. Then next Tuesday, I have a podcast interview with somebody who is having me as a guest on their show. And I could ask to reschedule it, but my schedule for the afternoon is really booked up for next week. And so as a result of that, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to keep this one. But outside of those two commitments and Wednesday mornings, that's it. So after Tuesday of next week, that's all it takes for me to be realizing my new altered ideal calendar, schedule, work week. See how this all fits in together? All right. So the next one, now this is going to be a tough one, but I'm going to just share it anyway. Set a boundary for self-care. Set a boundary that says going to the gym is something that I do as part of my personal self-care routine, and it is my quote-unquote me time. And then I put, it's not selfish to protect this. By protecting this self-care, I'm at my best to be of service to others. And so this means that, you know, if somebody was to come and visit and they say, hey, why don't I go to the gym with you? I'm like, sure. Feel free to Uber. I probably will start my workout around 8:30, 9 o'clock, but I'm going to be in the gym parking lot from 4:30 to 5 a.m. all the way up until then. And I kind of need that time for me. I probably wouldn't say all that. I'd probably just say, listen, I really appreciate that you want to go to the gym, but this is my me time. I want to protect it. And, you know, Stephanie is so aware of what's going on right now. I don't think she would dare even consider trying to say, hey, why don't we go to the gym together? Because she understands how much this means to me right now. And not that I've ever hinted that she's been a part of the disruption of this in the past. But she sees, as I'm seeing, just how much this makes a difference in how I show up, how I'm experiencing life personally, professionally, my self-care. This environment, this routine is a key to a great way of me experiencing life. It's a recipe for success, and she is in full support of it. So I don't think there'll be any time where she's like, hey, why don't we start working out together? And the only way I could see that happening is if for some other reason I disrupt this routine and I'm not doing this anyway. Although I think Stephanie, knowing what we both know now, if she ever sees me out of this routine, she's going to prompt me to get back into this routine before she would prompt me to go to the gym with her. And she has a very good routine, and I have no doubt in my mind that Stephanie would make a point to go and do the gym herself or figure out something. We've got work. When it's a priority for her, it'll be a priority for her. And I think she will be just as apt to help me set a boundary for this being my me time as much as I would. So That's the next thing that is a tip for myself, is to protect this. Set a boundary. This is my me time. I'm alone. This is my introverted self-care, boost my energy, creativity, do the stuff that time. I love it. And then the final tip here is manage external disruptions. And it simply means that I need to plan ahead. If I'm going to do travel, I need to plan ahead for the disruption. I need to be aware that it's coming. I need to recognize it. I need to accept it. And then make a point to schedule the appropriate amount of time to be adjusted for when I get back, whether that's time zone changes or just back into whatever, getting back to bed at an early, you know, early hour and all that other stuff. But here's what I'm committed to. The next time a scheduled travel experience is going to take me out of coming here and doing this throughout my work week, I'm committed before I leave for that trip, I will choose the day of the week or the day of the month that I will return to this routine. And that's it. So there you go. That's what I wanted to share. So a couple of things to take away from this. Number one, I'd like to ask you, have you ever created your own ideal work week or your ideal schedule, your ideal calendar? If not, I encourage you to do that. It is such an incredible thing. Number two, are you journaling? If not, let me encourage you to start journaling. It is such an incredible experience, and it allows you so many valuable benefits in life. Journaling is amazing. There are so many different ways you can journal, and I encourage you to pick up a practice of journaling. Maybe I'll do an episode on that at some point in the future. And then the third one is, are you recognizing the patterns in your life? If you are experiencing ups and downs and swings here and there and times when things go great and times when things don't, are you evaluating what are the patterns? What are the seeming causes for me to get off track? Are you able to pinpoint those? And of course, it's a lot easier if you're an avid journaler. But even if you're not, can you go back and can you process that? Now, for me, One of the benefits of journaling is that I thought I was actually reflecting back, and I thought it was just the pandemic that got... No, it wasn't the pandemic that got me out of this early morning pattern of coming here. I didn't even have this car and wasn't having this experience in this way until after the pandemic. And I didn't realize that until I was going through my journals. It's like, wait a sec, I'm so confused. I didn't have this car. I do remember early mornings in the Volkswagen Bug. I remember coming here and doing reflections from the front seat from my Volkswagen Bug. But I don't remember this early morning routine in the back parking lot doing this way in this car before the pandemic. Although I did remember it before the pandemic, except that it wasn't before the pandemic. So there's a lot of confusion. Our memory is a funny thing, and that's where journaling really comes in and helps. I hope that you found this podcast episode valuable. If you resonate with anything that I shared in this episode, will you email me and tell me what that was? What specific insight or insights did you take away from this episode? Email me, cliff@cliffravenscraft.com. My email address is in the show notes. By the way, if you are a full-time self-employed business owner and you are looking to do life with a bunch of other full-time self-employed business owners who understands the risks that you take every single day, if you want to have a group of people who understands the ups and downs, the ebbs and flow of income, and all of the stresses that sometimes comes along with that, if you want to do life with people who can give you insightful and advice related to the decisions that you are facing, if you want to have all sorts of other people who can consistently share with you what they're learning as it relates to what's working for them and what is actually a mistake that they've done in the past or what they're currently figuring out is a mistake in their own growth and marketing and content creation within their businesses. If you'd like to do life with other people like you who are committed to living life as the full-time self-employed business owner, doing the work you feel most called to do in this world, making a powerful, positive impact, and you'd like to benefit every single week from this group of people who are willing to bring all of their education, all of their experience, all of their skills, all of their talents, all of their abilities, all of their network of influence. If you would like to benefit from all of that every week and have your life taken to the next level, because you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with, your life will be a direct reflection of the expectations of your peer group. Would you like to elevate your peer group to some next level entrepreneurs? Then check out the Next Level Mastermind. All you need to do is go over to nextlevelmastermind.info. That's not .com. nextlevelmastermind.info. Link in the show notes. Fill out an application today. I can't wait to connect with you soon. Until next time, I encourage you to take everything you do to the next level. Mindset and surmount.